dream of the endless, Lord Morpheus, a tiny figure cloaked and masked, floats in a misty void. Wisps of vapor drift across the nothingness in his path. There are no stars, no anything, just a billowing mist.
There is a wind that blows between the worlds, a cold wind. It screams silently through the empty places, a nothing wind, traveling from nowhere to nowhere in the uncreated wastes. I am so cold. This is not a place, after all. It is between places. This is nowhere.
He's dressed for war. His cloak is heavy, made of something between leather and cloth. He is wearing gauntlets, solid black boots, shirt, and jeans. There's a thick leather belt with the pouch of sand hanging on it, although it is hard to see anything beneath the cloak, which covers him completely. There is no face, just the mask, a twisted thing of metal and bone, with its jutting, spine-like beak curving downward under dark, oval eyepieces.
A brief thought. I could stay here. Abandon my quest. Hang here forever in the void, safe and cold and alone.
No. We do as we must do.
And already the wind is dying back, signaling the transition from nowhere to where. Already the mists are parting.
Welcome to hell,
I tell myself. Because I am afraid. Welcome to hell.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 3.
Season of Mists, Chapter 2, in which the Lord of Dreams returns to Hell, and his confrontation with the Lord of that realm, in which a number of doors are closed for the last time, and concerning the strange disposition of a knife and a key. Dream approaches the gate of hell. This is not the gate he stood before on his previous visit. There are no blooded heads impaled on spikes, no festering body parts adorning the walls. Indeed, there is no sign of life whatsoever. He faces a maze of cyclopean masonry, huge and utterly horrible, a towering immensity of nightmarish architecture. There are blocks and bricks and fragments of statues, sections of skyscrapers and lumps of masonry held up by buttresses the size of entire cathedrals. Dwarfed by this monstrosity, Morpheus walks to the entrance itself, a giant pair of metal-bound wooden doors. About halfway up is a tiny keyhole, far too high to reach.
The doors to hell are legion. There are entrances less well guarded than this one, gates more poorly defended. But I am here as Dream of the Endless. I wear my helm of office. I am Caparison formally. I have no choice but to use the main gate. If necessary, I am prepared to storm the gateway, to force an entry. I have power enough to do it. It is no great task. I can open the doors, even the doors of hell.
So, right. There is no need for that. Not now. The gates are open. Unopposed, I enter hell.
Morpheus walks through the gate into the wild plains of hell, littered with fragments of bone and glass and industrial rubbish. A place of infinite desolation. His cloak blows around him.
The landscape of hell is mutable if one has authority. And I have certain authority, even here. Warily, I feel for the place I seek. Nada is held in the cliffs that circle Weep Not, in a barred cell carved from rock, lined with needle-sharp shards of volcanic glass. There is no food or water in that place. I suppose that she must be hungry. She must have been very hungry for a long time.
Ah, I find my destination. And in finding it, I am there.
Dream holds onto the cliff face with one gloved hand. He edges his way along a narrow path. It is no more than 6 inches wide, winding around a vertical chimney of rock.
Strange. I cannot believe that my task can be this simple, but perhaps it will be.
He passes prison cells, their bars studded with thorns, sharpened bone, barbed wire, and shards of glass.
Perhaps I will simply inform Nada that she is free, and we will leave this place together, unchallenged and unharmed. Perhaps...
He reaches the cell, inside which Nada has been sealed for more than 10 millennia. He peers into the gloom.
Nada! Nada!
And I think...
They have taken her. They have hidden her from me.
And then I think...
There is something deeply wrong. Even for hell, there is something wrong.
Dream steps off the ledge. He remains upright, floating in the fell wind that blows around the chimney of cliff face cells.
I listen. Silence. Pure and dead. I feel with my mind nothing. It is not just Nada who has gone. They have all gone. The dead and the neverborn. All of them. Where are they? Where is she? What trickery is this? Lucifer! Lucifer!
Yes?
Dream and Lucifer face each other, hanging in midair over the empty plain of hell.
Lucifer, where is she? What have you done to her? Where have you hidden her?
Hello, Dream. Take off that silly helmet and we'll talk.
I will not be tricked by you, Lucifer Morningstar.
Why, sweet Morpheus. Are you scared of me?
Yes.
Very well. Then I give you my word that while we are within the bounds of hell, I will do nothing to harm you. There. Now take off your helmet, and I'll tell you what's happened to your lady love. and the rest of them.
Very well.
There. Much better.
Dream's helmet has faded into nothingness. Morpheus looks thin, apprehensive. His hair is lank, his fringe damp with sweat, as he stares at Lucifer warily. They are two tiny figures floating opposite each other in space. One has huge, ragged wings, the other a billowing cloak. The Lord of Dreams in black, a creature of darkness. The Lord of Darkness, a creature of pure light. It occurs to us that the curls of hair upon the fallen angel's head could almost be horns.
Now, do you still want to know what's going on?
Yes.
Isn't it obvious, Dream King?
No.
I've quit.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Dream is bewildered.
Honestly, Morpheus, you need not stare at us. At me, rather. With that ridiculous expression on your face.
I do not understand. There is some trick here, some stratagem, some ruse.
No. I've stopped. I've resigned. I'm leaving. Can I make myself any plainer?
You refer to yourself in the singular, Morningstar.
Exactly. I am no king, Morpheus. Not anymore.
They descend to the plain below them, alighting gently.
Look, if you wander around with me for a bit, I'll explain the whole thing to you. There are a few things I have to do on the way, though. Do you mind?
Do I have a choice?
Of course you do. Either you can sit here and wait, and when I've finished, I'll come back and pick you up, or you can travel beside me.
I will come with you.
Good. Let's see. There's a final holdout soul in the slabs above the starving Jubilee. We'll tackle him first, shall we? Then the last few demons, then the gates, and then we're done.
Lucifer, it seems to go on forever. How big is hell?
Below them is a twisted landscape, like a nightmare city spread out on a table.
How big? It's vast. Well, even I couldn't say for certain exactly how vast. It's almost a meaningless question. Like asking how big the Silver City is, or how many are the fields of paradise.
They fly past a sharp, strange mountain range, jutting upwards like a mouthful of broken teeth. Below it is a dark, still lake. The mountains are reflected in the water.
This realm is Heaven's shadow, remember? Or, more precisely perhaps, Heaven's dark reflection. A landscape hanging inverted in the waters of a lake.
They float over a hand-carved stone slab. Spread-eagled on the vertical stone of the slab, about 100 feet up, is a naked man.
Ah, here we are.
The figure bound to the slab is a strongly built man with a light, patchy beard. He is naked, held down by fish hooks on chains which dig deep into the skin and flesh of his face and lips and body, fastening him to the rock surface. Foot-long metal nails have been hammered through his wrists and forehead. Two hooks pierce his eyelids, holding the eyes perpetually open. He is in pain and in rage.
You! Did you not hear my proclamation? You are free.
I will not leave.
The wounds are crusted with scabs, the hooks and chains pulling his features out of shape.
Oh, but you will leave.
Do not understand. I am Breschau.
So?
I am receiving my just punishment for my crimes committed while I was alive. For my crimes were monstrous things.
Oh, I don't care about your crimes. I want you out of here.
Demon! I will not be fooled by your prattle. I am Breschau of Livonia. I ripped out the tongues of those who spoke against me and cut the unborn babes from the wombs of my enemies' women that they would not become warriors to rise against me.
To Morpheus's astonishment, despite the hooks in the corners of his eyes and the nails through his ears, Breschau is grinning, reveling in describing his crimes. He is enjoying his torture.
I took my mother by force, and I strangled my sister when she would not consent to my advances. Soon, my name was whispered in the night by mothers to terrify their babes into obedience. I am Breschau, who bathed in the blood of children. I am Breschau, who forced the true prophets of the Lord to dance upon plates of iron under which fires were burning, and I laughed as they danced. I am Breschau. And when my mistress was unfaithful, I cut the nose from her face and wore it about my neck. As for the woman, I had her sewn to her lover, and skin to skin I left them in the desert to be eaten by the ravens. And I laughed as I heard them scream, I am Breschau, and this is my punishment!
You must go.
Did you not hear me, fiend? I have... killed.
I heard. You killed a number of people who by now would be long since dead anyway, so what? You've been chained to this slab for 1,100 years. Haven't you tortured yourself enough?
It's not me that's torturing me. It's the vengeance of the Lord. Did you not hear?
And Breschau, yes, I know. But no one today remembers Breschau. No one! I doubt one living mortal in 100,000 could even point to where Livonia used to be on a map. The world has forgotten you.
But I am...
Enough. Go.
Where has he gone?
Away. Now, down to the waning strand for the last few stragglers.
Lucifer, I do not understand.
But it's perfectly plain, Morpheus. It's over.
The Waning Strand. A beach in hell, made of pebbles. Pebbles which are tiny skulls. Three demons are clustered around a small fire made of driftwood. The dark wavelets lap sulkily at their feet. One of the demons is a praying mantis with the head of a fox, its muzzle elongated, like that of a sturgeon. This is Catili. Next to it is Rimmon, a man-sized newborn baby, with a snake rising up out of its lower stomach, the cobra head peering viciously around. The other is a human male, wearing a business suit whose head bears the compound eyes of a common housefly. The fire burns green and blue and yellow.
Wait, Dream. These are the last that I have to deal with. You, little demons, you heard my order. Why are you not gone from this place?
Lord, we...
The baby-headed thing... Rimmon has grasped Catili with one hand. Its baby head lolls to one side uselessly, but the snake head is raised, and it speaks.
Don't answer him, Catili.
I say what I like, Rimmon, my petal.
Wherefore?
Why? Because I do not believe that this pathetic creature is truly our Lord Lucifer. Would the Lord of Hell destroy his realm? Would the Lord of Hell ever free the souls held in torment? Would the Lord of Hell expel the Neverborn? Would the Lord of Hell abandon the war with Heaven?
The Lord of Hell will do what he damn well likes. Leave now, all of you.
Lucifer and Dream are alone. The little fire is still burning, smoking gently. The demons are gone and the beach deserted.
There. Those are the last of them. We're the only entities left in Hell, Morpheus. I was the first one here. And it looks like I'm going to be the last.
Lucifer, what is happening?
I keep telling you, Dreamlord. It's over. I am leaving. And I have closed down Hell.
How? How can you even...
Easy. 10 billion years I've spent in this place. That's a long time. And we've all changed since the beginning. Even you, Dreamlord. Oh, you were very different back then.
Perhaps, Prince Lucifer.
They stop at a large boulder on the edge of the beach. Lucifer sits upon it, pensively.
You can forget the honorifics. Rank never mattered to me, not really. But the demons expected it, which is one reason I've quit. There are others. I'm tired, Morpheus. So tired.
From his boulder, Lucifer looks down at Dream on the beach below. Unconsciously, perhaps, Lucifer has assumed the role of king with a courtier, the beach his palace, the rock his throne.
You knew me, Dream. You knew me when I was an angel. What was I like?
You were very proud, Samael. But you were also very beautiful. And wise. And passionate.
Was I? Yes. I was. I cared about so many things. I cared so deeply back then. In the cold. At the beginning of things. In the Silver City.
Lucifer remembers. He remembers being an angel, beautiful, holding a flaming sword, staring up at the face of God defiantly.
I suppose that was why everything began to go wrong. You know, I still wonder how much of it was planned, how much of it he knew in advance. I thought I was rebelling. I thought I was defying his rule. No. I was merely fulfilling another tiny segment of his great and powerful plan. If I had not rebelled, another would have in my stead. Raguel, perhaps. Or Sandalphon.
In Lucifer's memory, the fall from heaven is a long, tumbling descent through endless dark, his wings shredding.
We fell, my comrades in arms and I. We fell so far. So long.
They landed in the bubbling mud of hell, their wings in ruins, all the feathers burned away, leaving leathery stumps behind.
And I knew then that there was no way that I would ever return to paradise. But I'm wool gathering. I apologize. You do not mind if I work as we talk? There are no more entities left within the bounds infernal. But I need to secure the last gate.
No. No, I do not mind.
I have sealed or erased most of the gateways. There are only a few I need to secure personally.
They stand in a medieval torture chamber, open to the sky. Behind them, a brick wall. Set into it, a wooden door.
Some entrances can only be locked by the ruler of their world.
Lucifer holds a large key, black and weathered, about 6 inches long. It does not look out of place here. Its pockmarked blade is studded with sharp, thorny teeth.
You also rule a world, Morpheus. A world of sleepers and dreamers, of stories. A simple place compared to hell. I envy you. Can you imagine what it was like? Even just in this room, the rack, the hot irons, the meat hooks, the thumbscrews. 10 billion years spent providing a place for dead mortals to torture themselves. And like all masochists, they called the shots. Burn me, freeze me, eat me, hurt me. And we did. Come.
The new location is a palace built of oozing, glistening flesh. Lucifer walks to a doorway of sagging, moist pink tissue. Morpheus follows. It would be hard to imagine anything human using such an entrance.
And then there were the demon kind. Imagine being their lord and master. A handful of them were once angels who fell with me at the dawn. Others strayed here from elsewhere over the eons, making this place a home.
Lucifer locks the flesh door with the key.
And soon I found myself their lord and master, a million of them or more, squabbling and warring and carrying on. I watched their strange little fashions, the centuries they spent wearing the bodies of animals, the ridiculous vogue for rhyme to denote status. Demons who spoke exclusively in villanelles, haiku, or triolets. And above all, the fashion in intrigue. This way.
They stand in a grassy field by a low stone wall with a rough wooden gate in it. Lucifer pulls it shut.
In the beginning, I enjoyed it. I am more powerful than any of them. I could have destroyed any of them, perhaps even all of them, without much effort. So I manipulated them, set them one against the other, let them faction and divide and plot. But I grew weary, Dreamlord. Mightily weary. I ceased to care. There.
The office is modern, at the top of a tall building. There are chairs, a desk with a computer, some papers, and a plush carpet. They could be in New York City, but the view from the long glass picture window is of hell's bleak mountains and pinnacles of rock.
And the mortals, oh! I ask you, why? Tell me that, why?
Why what, first among the fallen?
Why do they blame me for all their little failings? They use my name as if I spend my entire day sitting on their shoulders, forcing them to commit acts they would otherwise find repulsive. Oh, the devil made me do it. I've never made one of them do anything, never. They live their own tiny lives. I do not live their lives for them.
Lucifer has moved to the office's door. He locks it with the key.
And then they die and they come here, having transgressed against what they believe to be right, and expect us to fulfill their desire for pain and retribution. I don't make them come here. I mean, they talk of me going around and buying souls like a fishwife come market day, never stopping to ask themselves why. I need no souls. And how can anyone own a soul? No. They belong to themselves. They just hate to have to face up to it.
They walk back towards the main gate through which Morpheus entered. Its improbable architecture piled treacherously overhead.
Yes, I rebelled. It was a long time ago. How long was I meant to pay for that one action? So now it's over. I have sent all of them away. All of Hell's inhabitants.
Where have you sent them?
Away. I don't care where they've gone. Heaven, Earth, Limbo, the Far Realms, who knows? But they won't be coming here anymore. Hell is over.
They emerge from the gate and stand outside the wall of Hell. A misty fog is forming around them. A chill is in the fetid air. Lucifer pulls the great door closed.
And what will you do now?
I don't know. To be honest, Dreamlord, I have not given it much thought. I could not return to the Silver City, even if I wished to. I could never again be an angel. Innocence, once lost, can never be regained. What will I do now? Well, I could lay on a beach somewhere, perhaps. Listen to music. Build a house. Learn how to dance. Or to play the piano. It matters not. I have had my fill of the old life. And that's all I care about. Strangely enough, Dreamlord, I owe my decision to you.
To me?
Yes, to you. It was when I heard you were coming. That was what gave me the impetus to do this. To do what I should have done millennia ago. Perhaps this is the ultimate freedom, eh, Dreamlord? The freedom to leave?
I thought that we would fight, Prince Lucifer.
Lucifer rises and inserts the key into the lock, high above Dream, almost lost in the fog.
Fight? No. No fighting. I'm tired of fighting, Morpheus.
But your responsibilities.
I have no responsibilities. Not anymore.
He turns the key.
There. That was the last of the gates. All entrances and exits are sealed. Hell is closed.
My lord, Lucifer!
A shape emerges from the thickening fog. It is Mazikeen, the demon woman. One side of her face belongs to a beautiful female human, perfectly made up, her hair shaggy and braided. The other side of her face is a mess of smashed skull and brain. There is no eye, and the teeth are exposed as the tendons of her neck. The remnants of one ear sticking incongruously out, a gold earring hanging from the lobe, miraculously untouched. She carries the long, jagged knife that she last held at Cain's throat in Lucifer's palace.
Greetings, my lord.
Mazikeen, why are you still here? And I'm your lord no longer, child.
No, you are still my lord. I will not forsake you. I love you, Master.
Oh, I am no longer your master, Mazikeen. But you may love me, if you wish. Let me introduce you. Dream of the Endless, this is Mazikeen, a daughter of Lilith. Mazikeen, this is Dream.
Lucifer, where you go, I will follow. Let me go with you, please. I must stay by your side forever.
Stay by my side? Mazikeen. Give me a knife.
Fire? Of course.
Mazikeen, you may not go with me. I'm sorry. I do not know where I'm going. But wherever I go, I will be traveling alone. Come close to me.
Fire?
Kiss me.
The kiss is tender and passionate between the fallen angel and his half-headed warrior succubus. It is deep, erotic, sensual, and disgusting.
It is enough for me to know that you care for me, Mazikeen. I thank you. Now go.
Yes, Lord.
Goodbye, Mazikeen. You are very beautiful. Morpheus, take the knife. You must cut off my wings. It is the last thing that needs doing. Please, do this thing for me.
Very well, Lucifer. If that is truly what you wish. Lucifer, I came here for a woman. To free her. To apologize to her. Her name is Nada. She was... Now the other. Yes. I remember her. Where is she, Morningstar? Out there. Somewhere. There are so many of them. All my little disembodied refugees fluttering away through the dimensions.
Lucifer's back bears two long, deep wounds that begin to scar over, even as Morpheus steps away, holding the dripping knife.
And what will they do on Earth? I wonder, when the dead start coming back.
What?
Lucifer stands before the Lord of Dreams naked, a being created genderless and perfect at the beginning of the universe. His hands hang by his sides, one holding the key to hell. Mist swirls about them.
Perhaps you'll find the woman Nada drinking. I wish you luck. Now, you return to your realm, and I will take my leave of mine. Oh! Morpheus! I swore once that I would destroy you, did I not?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Well, we are now outside the bounds of hell. This is for you, Dreamlord. Take it.
The key to hell.
Exactly. It's yours now. Perhaps it will destroy you and perhaps it won't. But I doubt it will make your life any easier. It's all yours now, Morpheus. You're the sole monarch of a locked and empty hell. Perhaps I ought to have given it to you with my best wishes. I could have told you that I hoped it would bring you happiness. But somehow... Somehow, I doubt it will.